You are listening to CKMS News on 102.7 FM, Radio Waterloo. I am Dan Keller, and this show first aired May 3rd, 2024. The final vote in Kitchener City Council to donate a parcel of land to a not-for-profit housing provider for purpose-built affordable housing passed on April 29th. As part of the Build Now Waterloo Region initiative and Kitchener's housing strategies, Habitat for Humanity will receive the land and have most of the development fees waived, and according to Kitchener's Mayor Barry Verbanovic, in return they will build more than 60 homes. Also, according to a City Press release, the development, quote, will include a number of larger 3- and 4-bedroom units, as well as some smaller studio 1- and 2-bedroom units, unquote. Philip Mills, the CEO of Habitat for Humanity Waterloo Region, is quoted in the press release, quote, "We are thrilled to begin a Build Now project and to focus on building attainable housing for the residents in our community. What was once a big idea is now reality. This massive housing initiative has been community-led from the very beginning. This is just the start of something big, and we cannot wait to get shovels in the ground and folks into homes," unquote. Construction of the homes, which will be owner-occupied, is expected to be underway by 2025 or sooner, with occupancy in 2026. According to Verbanovic, the units will be sold to low- and moderate-income families who make no more than $121,000 a year, at a target price of around $400,000. While housing is being announced and homes are being built, as of January 2024, there were over 8,000 people on the affordable housing waitlist in Waterloo Region, a number which represents years of waiting for assistance. CKMS News heard from one local resident who recently moved into an affordable apartment after over 7 years on the waitlist. Kitchener Centre Green Party MPP Ashlyn Clancy is trying to tackle that waitlist and others across the province with a new motion calling on the provincial government to use provincially owned lands to build affordable housing. Clancy puts the blame for the cost and availability of housing crises on the federal and provincial governments who reduced or stopped directly investing in new housing over the past several decades. In a press release, Clancy wrote, quote, "It's long past time for the government to get back in the business of building affordable and deeply affordable housing so that everyone has a safe and affordable place to call home," unquote. This show features interviews with Kitchener Mayor Barry Verbanovic and Kitchener Centre Green Party MPP Ashlyn Clancy. Mayor Verbanovic focuses on how projects like this are helping meet the city's housing goals, while MPP Clancy discusses her new motion. Here is the interview with Kitchener Mayor Barry Verbanovic. Why did the city give this land to Habitat for this project, and how will it advance Kitchener's housing plan?
As you know, the city has been focused on the role that the municipality can play in terms of affordable housing for some time, in particular since we introduced our Housing for All strategy that was built together with the community in late 2020, as well as our new updated economic development strategy, Make It Kitchener 2.0, in early 2021, both of which were focused on housing throughout the housing continuum, from dealing with shelters and wraparound supports all the way to market housing going forward. This is certainly an important piece of it. And last year in July, Habitat for Humanity, along with other community partners, came together to announce the Build Now Waterloo Region initiative, focused around creating 10,000 new affordable and attainable homes, both for purchase and rental. And, you know, the model was partially built on the role that area municipalities can play in that, including providing land for those homes. And so we were pleased to be the first municipality out of the gate to be able to offer up some land for this. It'll be a bit of a pilot that will allow Habitat to, you know, test some of the ideas and principles that they've come up with in creating the Build Now initiative, and will, you know, ultimately from a City of Kitchener point of view, lead to additional steps in the future around further investment in housing.
These units, they'll be owner occupied and sold to low and moderate income families. Do we have an idea of how much are they going to cost?
Yeah, so this is something that Habitat is working on, along with the partners. The Build Now initiative is designed to, remove all the profitability and so on from it in order to make housing affordable. And so I know they're striving to ensure that all of the units will be somewhere around 400,000 or less in terms of cost. And what they're striving for is to ensure that the accessibility to those units meets the provincial threshold, which would make them available to households that make less than 121,500 per year.
Are there more of these land donations in the works?
So this is the first one. As I said, it's a bit of a pilot. So, we can work and they can work some of the, any kinks out of the system and test it with the market, because they will be going through a public tender process and so on for the construction of the homes. It's a initiative that's been developed, co-developed together between the Build Now partners like Habitat and others, the some of the development partners in the community, as well as the area municipalities. And with some of the funding that the city of Kitchener got through the Housing Accelerator Fund initiative from the federal government, those dollars will help us ensure that this site is ready, but have also the $42.4 million that the city of Kitchener received last year in the announcement from Minister Sean Fraser. We know that there are also some additional dollars available to acquire additional land to be able to provide for these kinds of projects in the future.
Is there enough support coming from the federal government to meet the growing population and the projected population growth?
Listen, what I would say to you is that, huge kudos to the federal government, because for the first time in decades, we're seeing Ottawa, back in the game, back at the table, working with provinces and territories, and most importantly, working with municipalities to tackle some of the housing challenges. The housing crisis that's talked about so often nowadays is not something that's developed overnight. It's, developed over several decades. And more importantly, it's something that, particularly in the post-COVID era, is playing out not just in Canada, but across Canada and in fact, in many parts of the world. And so, going back to 2016, when the federal government came out with the Canada's first housing strategy, to the current budget that actually has a housing plan and funding it, I think there's been significant investments made. There's obviously work that still needs to be done, but if you just look at this current budget, there's $15 billion in additional loan funding for rental construction. There's $6.5 billion going to municipality for infrastructure and so on to ensure that lands are housing ready to move forward. There was another billion going to affordable housing projects. And then there was $250 million to be matched by provinces and territories to deal with homelessness. So there's significant investments going forward, plus the investments that the province is making. As in addition to the $42.4 million that City of Kitchener got through the Housing Accelerator Fund recently, we also achieved $14 million through the province's BFF fund as well.
With this project specifically, was it supported by the provincial government?
So this specific project is being, it's really being supported primarily with the land donation from the city and federal Housing Accelerator Fund money. But some of the legislation that the province has changed, which allows us to not charge development charges and not have to replenish those dollars, certainly will help as well, because that'll add to the affordability of these this project being able to go forward.
All right. Is the city considering at all getting into the housing market to provide affordable housing, such as some cities in Europe like Vienna or Berlin have done?
First of all, in Ontario, affordable housing, the housing services manager typically lies with the regional order of government in a two-tier structure. And so, you know, in that regard, it's a region that's, you know, driving a lot of the work, and the city is trying to focus on areas where we can make a difference. So, you know, we've focused on trying to make sure that there's lands ready in terms of, you know, roads, sewer, water pipes, those kinds of things, making sure we streamline our approval processes to make things, you know, get approved faster, which brings down the cost, removing things like building permit fees, site plan fees, and development charges, which again adds to affordability for not-for-profit housing. But in terms of actually, you know, owning and managing, the city of Kitchener several decades ago created Kitchener Housing, but Kitchener Housing is now, you know, a not-for-profit and part of the overall umbrella that's managed by the region.
I mentioned earlier a question from my son.
Okay, here we go, the hard-hitting one.
And it is.
Why can't we give more land to Indigenous people?
In fact, one of the conditions of some of the housing programs that the federal government has brought forward has included a prioritization for projects that are available for Indigenous people. And so I know from the region, some of the RHI or Rapid Housing Initiative money did in fact go towards Indigenous housing in the community. Some of it went to housing focused around women. So as an example, the city of Kitchener ended up donating about $2.5 million in land over on Blockline Road to the YWCA, and the federal RHI money came through the region and allowed the YW to build 41 units of supporting housing for women. And then a second project in round two of the funding created 9 units of for single moms with children. But definitely Indigenous housing is a priority, both for the federal government and for us as well.
As the region looks to use expropriation on some prime farmland in an apparent effort to create more employment, will the city be looking at expropriating property to develop or to give to nonprofits to build more housing?
So, you know, I mean, specifically with respect to housing, you know, we believe that the marketplace, you know, has demonstrated that there's a fair supply of land that can be used for these purposes. And, you know, we'll be looking to work with, you know, owners of lands where it makes sense to acquire lands if we don't have our own already, like we did in this instance. But those will be, you know, initiatives that are done through the regular process.
All right. That was Kitchener Mayor Barry Verbanovic speaking on the city's recent housing efforts, including a land donation to Habitat for Humanity for the construction of more affordable homes in the city. Now for the interview with Kitchener Centre Green Party MPP Ashlyn Clancy, focusing on her newly tabled motion.
As a Green, we like to put forward solutions. We say to every political party, steal our ideas. So we're going to keep putting forward solutions that we think or we know make a lot of sense.
Why did you table this motion to use government land for affordable housing?
Well, we've noticed that since the 90s, since both the federal and provincial governments got out of the business of housing, that it's been really hard to do locally, like just with funding. It really, municipal governments use property tax dollars to raise money for things. And so we haven't seen the degree of affordable housing built. And so we're seeing a housing crisis on many fronts for many different people, but specifically around the lack of affordable housing. I believe there is like a 7 to 10 wait time for folks on the list. And it just feels like every time I hear about the list, it keeps getting longer, not shorter. So, you know, we see locally, like the city of Kitchener has donated land to Habitat recently. This is a common way that municipalities are trying to go forward, and we're trying to encourage the province to follow this great example of also donating their land for this purpose.
And that was 7 to 10 year wait list?
That's what I'm hearing. You know, that's really tough on folks on a low income because their incomes don't go up and they're feeling the squeeze with their housing bills. So it's really causing them to have to choose between heating and eating, right?
Now, it sounds like you did take some inspiration for this from Kitchener's plan to use public land for not-for-profit housing projects.
Yeah, no, I mean, that was the joy. Like, I really appreciate being a city councillor. It gave me a lot of insight into the different ways different levels of government are trying to work on this issue and find solutions. And, you know, I talked to Phil from Habitat for Humanity and Sean Campbell from Union Co-op, and they talk about different things in their budget that add to the cost and reduce the amount of units they can put online, you know, and so to speed it up when there's land that reduces costs and helps them do more with the dollars they fundraise. And I know there's different tax ideas, like the city of Kitchener got rid of development charges for affordable housing, and that was echoed by the province. So there's different ways we can take down the cost of building affordable housing, just to make sure that those charities that are doing this work, not-for-profits and different organizations, can really produce more units with the dollars they have.
And what does affordable mean in your plan?
So I think of affordable as 30% of income. Right now, we're still calling on the provincial government to define affordable. To me, you know, even with Habitat, their definition of affordable is you know, meeting that minimum, that middle income threshold, whereas there's rent geared to income that is a lower income threshold. So I think affordable means something to everybody, but that's why the 30% is good. I know that's hard for, you know, people's business models to make sense of, but yeah, I think if you and I think of what we need to survive, if we spend 30% of our income on our housing costs, it really does allow for that 70% to be used for a lot of other bills, a lot of other necessities. And heaven forbid you have a bit of fun, right?
Why the focus on co-ops in this motion?
We know that co-ops offer that flexibility and it fosters community. You know, co-ops have a long history in Ontario and they kind of work on a sliding scale. So, you know, I appreciate that people's lives change, you know, and a lot of folks are worried about losing their rent geared income or, you know, what the impact that that could be. And I think co-ops offer a really beautiful model of people sharing their spaces. You know, I go to Bread and Roses on Queen Street and people talk about the relationships they have in their building and how there's a shared gardening area. And, you know, it's just one of many models, but I think it's an important one.
Do you have land in mind when you were writing this motion?
I don't exactly. I know the city of Kitchener was doing a scan of their land. So I'm going to be reaching out to ask the government of Ontario where they're at with that. You know, definitely locally, it'd be nice to know what options there are. Different plots of land have different benefits. You know, maybe this one's better for a common good like a hospital, and this one's a better option for housing because of different factors, you know. So there's many different plots of land and what they're good for, but I think we need to push the government to kind of take these steps faster, because, you know, we just see the number of folks every year that are facing a winter unsheltered grow. And even though our shelter spaces, I say we keep turning our homes into hotels, and that's like kind of a critical of the short term, the Airbnb model of investment properties. I know it's good for people to pay their own mortgage, but it does take away an affordable housing supply when people are pushed out of their homes to become a hotel, and then our hotels are becoming shelters. But I think we see this every November, that our community, Waterloo Region, is facing the reality that there are too many people that need shelter spaces than shelter beds that exist. So the crisis is real. It's happening now. I know the Association of Municipalities of Ontario has been begging for at least over a year. I think it's 2 years now, asking for support. A lot of money goes into homelessness, but we know homelessness services, which are important, but we know the negative impact it has on people's health and mental health and overall well-being, when we could prevent this by giving people permanent affordable housing right now, that would just alleviate a lot of pressure on the system, and it would make such a difference to people's lives. Prevention is key. I think the stat I saw the other day and I was using for a speech was, we save about $13,000 per person when they can get permanent housing instead of homeless shelters. Like, sheltering people is not financially beneficial. It's not good for somebody's well-being. Having someone enter into permanent affordable housing or supportive housing, etc., alleviates so much strain on the system. And it's just fiscally responsible, but it's also compassionate and the right thing to do and does overall benefit for somebody's well-being. So yeah, it's not a cheap thing, you know, by being reactive. We need to be preventative.
You've touched on some of these, but other measures for getting people into homes and keeping homes that they can actually afford.
So I did a bill recently, and it was all about tenant protection. There's almost zero accountability for folks who are bad acting and shoving people, harassing people, bullying people out of their homes. And these are all, like I would say, you know, just anecdotally, that these are the affordable homes we're trying to protect. These are the homes that people on a fixed income, ODSP, single parents, low middle income folks, students are living in and getting shoved out of, and then with no options. So we need to protect the affordable stock that we have. I think it's like such a massive portion of our affordable housing in the private sector was built in before the 96, I think it was. So, you know, if we don't protect what we have, every unit we build in Canada, we lose 15 in the private sector. So we're not even stopping the hemorrhaging. So let's stop the loss of the affordable stock, keep it affordable. Everything that gets built new is not affordable from what I see, you know, so we need to protect what we have. It's good to get more supply online for sure. It's not put downward pressure on the more affordable stock, but you know, we need to protect what we have and get to building more so we can get people off this wait list, help them move on with their lives. As a social worker, so many people would say, well, when I get my housing, I'll go back to school. When I get my housing, I'll, you know, look for a partner, a relationship. When I get my housing, things will get better. But that's such an awful way to put your life on hold, waiting for that stress reduction because you can afford to live and afford to pay your bills. So we do need to invest in this in a pretty bold way.
That was Kitchener Centre Green Party MPP Ashlyn Clancy speaking on her newly tabled motion, which urges the Ontario government to transform provincially owned land into affordable housing developments. Prior to MPP Clancy, we heard an interview with Kitchener Mayor Barry Verbanovic speaking on the city's housing initiatives and the recent land donation to Habitat for Humanity to build new affordable housing. This is Dan Keller for CKMS News on 102.7 FM, Radio Waterloo. Thank you for tuning in.
This program is part of the Local Journalism Initiative and is funded by the Community Radio Fund of Canada, Heritage Canada, and the CKMS Newsroom. Check out the archived versions of this program on radiowaterloo.ca/news and listen to all the LJI content at frequencynews.ca. If you want to get in touch with comments or ideas about stories to cover, email us at news@radiowaterloo.ca.